Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Say, because you believe in Jesus, and you had to speak. You had to say something. You had to know something, believe something, and you had to say it. That's how you got born again. Salvation is called a great confession. You had to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You could just believe God. You could just believe that Jesus, Jesus is God's Son. That won't get you saved. You had to believe that He's God's Son and that He'd come into your life. You're going to ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you just in the fan club with the other fans. Jesus is a personal Savior. See, based on who He is and what He had done, based on what God says who He was, say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye Him. There's something you must personally do to be born again. That's right. Well, I go to church. You don't get saved just because you go to church. Jesus must be appropriated. Salvation has to be appropriated. Now, people don't normally talk like that regular. Appropriation is not like a normal conversation word. You know, that's not, you know. But people say, you've got to make Him your Savior and Lord. That's the same thing as appropriating salvation. You have to believe He didn't commit any sin. You must believe that He was born of a virgin. You have to believe all of that. To appropriate, say, well, you know, I believe He's God's Son, but I don't believe He was born of no virgin. You're not saved. You must believe He's born of a virgin, because if He's born of a man like we born, He was in sin. He had sin. He had a sin nature. He couldn't have a sin nature and qualify to die on the cross for your sins. That means you're still in your sin. If Jesus didn't die for your sin, you still have them. Because we were born in sin. We were born with Adam's nature. Jesus is called a second Adam. Let me ask you a question. You ever notice sometimes we'll be in here and we'll say some things about salvation? You're like, wow, I didn't realize that was interesting about salvation. Can I get a witness? Because your revelation of salvation grows. There are things about salvation, even though you got salvation, you appropriate it, but there are things about it you haven't looked at. They belong to you too. See, we're in America where people have stuff and they don't know what to do with it. They have more stuff, can't even get around to it. But you won't get around to this. Because you've been made the head and not the tail. All of that came in the package. But let's go back to the word appropriation. And we said the Mark 11:22-24 is the appropriation process. What did I say it was? The appropriation process. One more time. The appropriation process. In other words, you have to make it yours. There's an appropriation process for healing, prosperity, divine guidance, walking in love, joy. There's an appropriation process for receiving and walking in all the blessings of God while you're down here on the earth. That's right. And that appropriation process, it begins with faith in God. The first, in your Bible, you're looking at it in red writing, right? The first thing Jesus said is, have faith in God. Everything else He says after that has to do with your faith in God. All right, now, I made that, this is probably as far as I can go today, but this is important. This is fundamentally, these fundamentals can't be violated. Because see, the power, this is Jesus speaking here in red writing in your Bible. How many of you have red writing in your Bible? It's in red writing, right? So what Jesus says is and this message that we're covering today has to do with deception regarding the power of words. Amen. This is one of the faith destroyers. This will erode or destroy your faith, not knowing the power of words. All right, now, so it starts out, and God talks about His word, Hebrews 4:12. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? What word? All of God's word. So Jesus tells them to have faith in God, and you cannot have faith in God without His word. God can't be known apart from His word. He reveals Himself in His word. And His word is pure truth. So, as you look at Mark 11, verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain." So what it does, it begins by speaking. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, doesn't moving a mountain seem like a miracle? Doesn't it? I say, doesn't it? Well, actually, you can't do it. But God can. Actually, you can't save yourself. But God can. See, when you say you're saved, you didn't save yourself. God did. The power to save mankind is a miracle. So Jesus is saying, I want you to follow this closely. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. The degree of difficulty of a man to save himself is impossible. It can't be done. He can't be rebirthed himself. Hallelujah. Well, how am I saved? You're born again. But how was that possible? God had to send Jesus. Us man being saved, God to save man, he didn't override spiritual law. He had to comply with spiritual law. And that could not be done without a perfect person who had no sin and who was born different from the people he saved. Think about this. Adam and Eve lost relationship with God down here on the earth. God had to get it back down here where it was lost. See, now, these are fundamentals of spiritual law. Now, I don't want to be too theological, but it's simple. God made Adam. They had no sin. They sinned down here. God had to send his son, who had no sin, to die for the sin Adam had to redeem mankind. So the Redeemer couldn't have sin. Because the guy who fell, he fell because of sin. It was impossible for man to do that for himself. You could not do salvation for yourself. No human could do it. That makes salvation a miracle of God as it relates to us. Because it couldn't be done by us. So Jesus comes out and he talks about, somebody say appropriation. Okay. This will be good. When you got saved, you appropriated salvation. Yeah. Excuse my sniffling. You appropriated salvation. You didn't, God didn't all of a sudden, oh, let me save so and so. Oh, no, that's not what happened. He made salvation available, and you had to appropriate it. It was already here. God didn't save you when you got saved. You were saved 2,000 years ago when God brought Jesus from the dead. You simply responded to the appropriation process. Appropriation process? What's the appropriation process? You got to believe that Jesus is God's son. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, Pastor, how do I know that's true? You don't. You got to believe it. But God's going to give you enough information to prove his point. And see, he documented and kept the documentation. You are living based on what you believe. The just shall live by faith in God. See, if you saved, you got saved. When you got saved, you became the just or the righteous. If you're not saved, you are not the just and you are not the righteous. You are a sinner. You, in other words, you're lost, dead in trespasses and sin. Now, let me go back. Let me back up here. I find this to be a challenge, in our Christian world, that many times people are somewhat confused by these identity categories. You're not a sinner is not a sinner because he sins. A sinner is a sinner because he's not born again. The Bible describes him as a sinner. He's separated from God. He's a person that's not been born again. So he's a sinner as a title. Well, you can be saved and you sin. The devil will tell you you're a sinner. Your title now is, as you're born again, is not based on what you do. You're born again. You're a saint that sinned, and you give forgiveness for the sin, but you've been born again. So when you hear the term sinner used, you got to understand, you have sinners and you have saints. See, as a believer, you're a saint. Well, saints seem like real holy and perfect, doesn't it? Well, hey, I don't know if I'm a saint because I've done sin since I've been saved. Yeah, you're still a saint. But that's why you had to repent for it. Because you're a saint. You're born again. Well, saint, doesn't that mean you're perfect? Uh-huh. Well, I know I'm not perfect. No, not in your flesh you're not, but spiritually you are. You couldn't be saved unless you were perfect. Well, how did I get perfect? You did. Jesus did it. You're not down here on your own record. You're on Jesus' record. He perfect. So if the enemy could confuse you by saying, look what you did. No, that was my flesh. And see, you had the word said we had this treasure in earth and vessel. That was your flesh. And if you feed it, it's gonna constantly do it. See, that flesh, in your flesh dwells no good thing. If you don't give it the word, it won't be restrained. Your flesh didn't get saved. That's why you ought to renew your mind with the word of God. Because if you don't renew your mind with the word of God, it won't want to read the Bible, go to church, or do good. It won't. It's like weeds in a yard. If you don't put some lawn out there, them weeds gonna grow. But let's go back to with the time we have. Let's go back to words. Amen. Am I helping anybody? So these are the fundamentals. Appropriate salvation. And see a person who's sick, they're learning how to appropriate healing. That's why we do the healing. They need to hear it over and over and over, because what happened? Their mind has to get renewed to healing. Many people, if you're sick and you think God made you sick, why are you trying to get well? You're trying to get out of the will of God? It's not his will that you be sick. It's not his will that you be sick. Poor, depressed, oppressed, none of that is the will of God for your life. You're a believer. So let's go back to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Appropriating, amen, faith. So when he said, have faith in God. Now, I could just run off the stage and go home on this. Listen, when you appropriate faith in any subject, it's the same way. It's the same pattern. To appropriate. And you did it when you got saved. But so when you look at this red writing over here, the word of God has power. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say. This word say is in this scripture, verse 23. It's in here three times. So what you're going to be saying is the word of God. And this particular message we shared in healing has to do with deception regarding the power of words. The devil doesn't want you to know the power of your words. He wants you to be casual with what you say. But the word says life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, what God is saying, the power of your life is in your mouth. Ooh, Jesus. And so people think, well, they just words. No, there's no such thing as just words. So the deception of the enemy can deceive you regarding the power of your words. You will be casual in how you release them and what you say. But when you know their value, you will begin to re-script your whole life. Many people need to re-script their whole life, change everything you say about yourself. That's why it's good for you to use, set you some good goals, some godly goals, and say only say what lines up with those goals. Well, how you doing? I don't know. I hope I'll make it. I'm just trying to make it. You need to get rid of that. Yeah, that. No, you the head and not the tail. God didn't say, I'm trying to make you the head and not the tail. Get your words in line with the word of God. If you want to walk in divine health, you need to have you need to script divine health. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm the head and not the tail. The health of God manifests in my life on a daily basis. Amen. I'm stronger mentally, psychologically, and physically on a daily basis. You see, script your life if that's what you want. Well, I don't know. Just hope I feel good. Hope I feel better today. Hope I feel better than the day than I did yesterday. What? No. Don't hope. Use faith and speak it. You have the authority, life and death and the power of the tongue. But let's wrap it up. So it says, who has said to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Now, what will happen is, underline what it says, shall not doubt. It says, shall not doubt in his heart. What Jesus is indicating here is that you must believe with the heart. You see, some scriptures you know, they haven't come alive to you yet. You know what the verse says, but it's not alive in your heart yet. You got to repetitionally say it, and God will give you a revelation in your heart, and you will embrace it in your heart. You know what the scripture says about your heart? It said, guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. So you're guarding it by putting the word of God in there. You want the word of God that's full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. See, when the word goes in your heart, it looks at everything else that's in there. And if it's doubt in there, it's got to go. Well, you know, I believe in God right here, but I can't figure out how that can come to pass. That's called doubt. God didn't tell you to figure it out. He told you to believe it. And the more you know about God, you know, the Bible reveals the miracles of God. It reveals the things that he did that man couldn't figure out. So, this scripture, it said, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Underline that word, believe. You see where it says believe? But shall believe that those things which he saith. Well, suppose you're not saying nothing. You must establish a speaking script. What are you going to say? Stop leaving what you say up to your emotions, what day it is, how you feel. Don't leave it up to that. Script it and say the same thing every time. That's what's going to come to pass. You know, sometimes you can be listening to the word and all this teaching in detail. It can be boring, but victory is not boring. And this is how you get it. I say victory is not boring, but this is how you get it. You'd be amazed at things the devil have trained you to say while sitting right in front of your TV, bored, programming right on the inside. So now, the things that seem uninteresting, all of a sudden, they become very, very serious. So it says, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What happened, Pastor? You have just appropriated the word. But now there are dangers after appropriation. And he said, therefore I said to you, what things soever you what desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, when you've appropriated the word, you believe it, you know it's the will of God for your life, you can have this. Okay, so when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, okay, hold it. Everybody hold up for a minute. When you appropriate the word, it's yours. Prosperity, healing, divine, it becomes yours before it manifests. You take possession in the spiritual realm. In that verse, verse number 23. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, say shall come to pass. At that point, you don't have it. It haven't come to pass. Believe the things he said shall come to pass. Shall come. I believe it's going to come to pass. I believe it's going to come out of the spirit into the natural. Shall come to pass. I believe it's going to come to pass. Why? It's the word. I've already spoken it. It's going to come to pass. Now you believe it's going to come to pass. He said you must believe that it shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever he saith. Now what happens is the manifestation process, how to bring it to pass, is found in this verse. Therefore I said to you, what things soever you desire. Well, what is it I desire? That stuff you believed in verse 23. Whatever was the subject for you in verse 23, that's what you're going to be praying about. That's what you're praying about. So what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you what? Receive them and you shall what? That's the process. You shall have them. If you're going to have them, they've got to be down here. They belong to you. You shall have them. Do you know that's how you got saved? Amen. All right. I got to stop. But I'm not. I'm going to take another minute. Here's what I'm going to do. You see verse 23. Do you know that when you came down front to get saved, how many of you came down front to get saved? You got saved in a church. Okay. Because everybody don't get saved in church. Sometimes people pray with you. When you came down front to get saved, you already believed and knew you wanted to be saved. Can I get a witness? Okay, so once you came down front to get saved, you already believed that God was Jesus' son, that he died for your sins, was raised from the dead, he was born of a virgin. Am I right about it? So when you come down front, it's like, okay, what are they going to do? Well, what happens is, what's supposed to happen is, they're supposed to lead you into a prayer of salvation. Come on, preachers, listen to me. The person, when they come down saying, I believe this stuff about Jesus. I want Jesus. All right, now, you're ready to pray. You believe he's God's son. You believe he died and raised from the dead on the third day. You believe he's born of a virgin and all of those things. You believe it. That's why you down front. When they say, if you anybody wants salvation, are you with me? Then they tell you to come down. Now, you don't have to come down to get saved, but you got to do what they did when they came down. I backed up a little bit on say, I won't give you about the words, but anyway. So when you get down there, that prayer, what things soever you what desire, well, what do you desire? What do you come down here for? I want to be born again. Is there anyone? Is there one that wants to be saved? That's what the invitation is. The invitation is, So I want that. I want to come down. Come on down here. Now, you know, I'm using because I got saved in a Baptist church. They didn't come down front. I came on down front. You know, I'm ready. I want to get whatever y'all, however y'all do it, y'all do it. But because I need that. But I didn't have it because I hadn't prayed what we call the sinner's prayer. What verse is that, 24? You see verse 24? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you, is that, am I right in that verse? And you should have, so when you come down, this was the other part of the appropriation. This is why it's so important for people knowing, people who learn the word to be praying. You got the word. That word's got to be released. You want it to come to pass. You got to do some praying. Amen? You're doing some studying and some listening and taking some notes and believing, but now you got to do some praying. In other words, you want it to come to pass. So what scripture says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, all religions pray. All religions pray. But everything they say is not true. This is the word of God. It's full of truth. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, there's a lot in this verse. Now, this is what Dr. Hagin had discovered to receive his healing. And then he said, but when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So you got to keep check up on sin in your life. You must confess any, you must get rid of any unconfessed sin in your life. You got an unconfessed sin in your life? Get up off your knees. You need to confess that. Ask God to forgive you. Now you're ready to pray. You're in fellowship with God. Somebody say the process. Thank you. I receive it. This is the appropriation process. And so, as we look at this and we look at the words are important, the value of the words, this is what makes a difference. Amen. And the power of words. You see the power of words. This is how you got saved. You didn't know the whole Bible. But you knew Jesus was God's son. He died for your sin. Amen. Amen. He was born of a virgin. You got saved. You got born again. Now you begin to renew your mind by the word of God, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. Let church say amen. I'm going to stop right there. I got you on overload already. I said I got you on overload. Somebody, you pick this part, pick that part. But you know it's a lot of other people listening. Amen. So God has made it simple. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25. The process is still the same. It doesn't change. But what you're praying for may change. What words you meditating on? What mountain are you speaking to? Is it a sickness and disease mountain? Is it a relationship mountain? Is it a finance mountain? Hallelujah. What mountain? Is it an attitude mountain? What kind of mountain are you saying to be removed? And be thou cast into the sea. Have you got the word to stop doubting? You got to believe it. Many times you meditate on the word. Let the church say amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m., or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's theheirchurch.org.